From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Welcome to this Monday, April 17th edition of Washington Watch. Thanks so much for tuning in. Well, coming up, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy was on Wall Street today and made these remarks in a speech at the New York Stock Exchange.
Let me be clear, defaulting on our debt is not an option. But neither is a future of higher taxes, higher interest rates, more dependency on China, an economy that doesn't work for working Americans.
Obviously, something got lost in the translation from New York to the United States Senate here in D.C.
Speaker McCarthy plays a risky and dangerous game when insisting on imposing severe cuts, which would hurt the American people, raise our prices, and threaten our economy before we avoid default.
That was Senate fearmonger, Democratic leader Chuck Schumer earlier today in the Senate. The chairman of the House Republican Study Committee, Oklahoma Congressman Kevin Hern, in a letter to his Republican colleagues, said addressing the debt ceiling is the most pressing issue before Congress, and they must work night and day to get it done. Congressman Hern joins us to explain why. He'll also talk about the obstacles standing in the way of dealing with the debt ceiling. Democrats are already gearing up to make abortion an issue in 2024.
This is a critical point in our nation's history. We are seeing around the country, in a myriad of ways, those who would dare to attack fundamental rights and, by extension, attack our democracy.
That was Vice President Kamala Harris at the Los Angeles Women's March this past Saturday. So let me make sure I understand this. Protecting unborn children is an attack on democracy. Really? Well, we're going to talk about it a little later. Now, I almost, and I emphasize almost, wish I drank beer so I could join the boycott of Bud Light.
So I had this super clear mandate. It's like we need to evolve and elevate this incredibly iconic brand. What does evolve and elevate mean? It means inclusivity. It means shifting the tone. It means having a campaign that's truly inclusive and feels lighter and brighter and different and appeals to women and to men.
It means lose $6 billion in market capitalization. It means drive away your customers. That was Alicia Heinerscheid. She's vice president of Bud Light. That was her talking before the company decided to mock women by putting a gender-confused man, Dylan Mulvaney, on a beer can. They obviously were drinking their own product when they made that decision. We're going to talk about that later. And speaking of being intoxicated, policymakers in Washington State and Oregon appear to be drunk on their own power, passing measures that keep parents in the dark about their children's gender transitions. FRC's Meg Kilgannon joins me for that conversation. Now, stand by. Before I play this next clip, I want you to consider the source. This is Don Lemon on CNN's This Morning, last Friday, with the mayor of New York, Eric Adams, trying to dismiss in advance the Republican field hearing on crime in New York City.
How concerned are you about this perception that cities like New York are dangerous?
Well, we should be clear that New York City is the safest big city in America.
Well, Congressman Nathaniel Morin, a member of the committee who was in New York for the hearing, joins me a little bit later here on Washington Watch to discuss what they found at their hearing in the Big Apple. Hey, mark your calendars. We've got some upcoming events. Thursday, May the 4th, FRC will be broadcasting a special National Day of Prayer event at our new Faith and Freedom Chapel in Baton Rouge. In fact, you can join us there if you're in the Baton Rouge area. To find out how, go to TonyPerkins.com. And also, make plans now to join us for the 2023 Pray Vote Stand Summit here in Washington, D.C., September the 15th through the 17th. To register and to find out more information, go to PrayVoteStand.org. Our word for today comes from Ezekiel 36, verse 22. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations. Now, here's something we need to understand. It's not about us. It's about the glory of God and the elevation of his name. Yes, God loves us, but it's not about us. It is about him, God's reputation, God's name suffers because of our sin, which happens when we make ourselves the center of our lives and not God. If we want to see God move in our day, we must begin praying and living for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be glorified. And we don't need to hide the name of Jesus because it's controversial. We need to lift it high. To find out more about our journey through the Bible, go to frc.org/Bible. With the federal government expected to hit the debt ceiling possibly as early as June, House Republicans want to pass a strong debt limit bill before the end of April. But what is the path forward with President Biden and Democrats refusing to negotiate? Well, joining me now to discuss this and much more is Congressman Kevin Hern. He serves on the House Ways and Means Committee, and he's also the chairman of the Republican Study Committee. He represents Oklahoma's 1st Congressional District. Congressman Hern, welcome back to the program.
Tony, it's so good to be with you.
Now, you have urged Republicans in the House to pass a strong debt limit bill this month. You said we got to work night and day to get this done. Tell us why.
Well, the American people want to see us do what they elected us to do in November, which is lead on this issue. The Democrats and their spending, especially the last omnibus bill that they passed in the last fall, created the debt crisis that we've seen now since January 19th when Secretary Yellen announced this. And I put out a letter and said every big spending change has occurred when we've had a debt limit debate. And so here we are. We've had now some 87, 88 days to talk, and we've gathered a lot of information from our members. The leadership has done a great job of listening to all voices. Now is the time to put together a bill, get it on the floor, and vote on it next week. Because what's going to happen if we don't, certainly what we're seeing right now is in the Senate. We're seeing the criteria leak out, and now we're even having Republican senators push back on things such as work requirements without even fully understanding what's in going to be in the potential bill going forward.
Is it a problem that the White House is saying, look, we're not going to negotiate on this. We want a clean debt ceiling. I mean, should there not be conversations going on about a way forward here?
Well, when you've been the author of some $10 trillion in spending that's caused the inflation that every American is feeling now, higher energy costs for your home, higher fuel for your cars, higher food prices, we're now starting to see the economy have layoffs. The interest rates are still high and going higher. This president has lost touch with reality. And quite frankly, he has said one thing and done the other so many times, including just recently the crime bill that passed the House, a Republican crime bill, that he said he would never support, and he did. The president needs to see a debt limit deal put on the floor, get it voted on by 218 Republicans and sit to the Senate, and have the Democrats tell the American people why they want to continue to spend and jeopardize the future of their kids and grandkids.
I want to talk in just a moment about what is going to be in that debt ceiling bill in terms of the trade-offs here. But first, you made reference to the inflation. Inflation is now at 5%. The president, the White House spending that saying, hey, it's a good thing. We're down to 5%. In fact, taking credit for the last 9 months of decline. What's the real story here?
Well, again, they just have lost touch with reality. There's other things that are going on right now, the policies they've done, such as taking away our ability to be energy dominant when we had prices at the pump below, $1.79, $1.89 for a number of years under President Trump, to now where our average prices are up about $3.50, $4 again, going upwards since the announcement by Saudi Arabia to curtail production. This is the same old story that we saw prior to the 2017 Tax Cut and Jobs Act, prior to Donald Trump, where we saw things that where the Middle East could control our energy costs, they drove up the price of the pump. Many Americans have limited income, and driving back and forth to work, taking their kids to school is a very significant part of this. And the president needs to understand they can't destroy the American economy for some left-wing ideology that we're going to somehow get rid of combustion engines in this country. And so this is all part of his grand plan, or certainly whoever's running his media outlets, his propaganda machine, to destroy fossil fuels, which are so instrumental in great-paying jobs in America.
So let's go to the debt ceiling bill. What can we anticipate being in there in terms of the restraining, pulling back on government spending? Of course, as soon as that word comes out, you've got Chuck Schumer over in the Senate and the White House saying, oh, Republicans are going to cut Medicare. They're going to cut Social Security, even though you've said a multitude of times that's not going to happen.
No, and certainly the Social Security and Medicare conversation are not part of the debt limit. Work requirements are something that President Bill Clinton, a Democrat, did not back in 1996. It's restoring those work requirements that were so effective in having budget surpluses for 4 years in a row leading up to the technology bubble that we had in 2001, certainly out of control of that particular bill. But also we in the bill, what we have is we actually borrowed an idea from Joe Manchin, a Democrat senator, where we're talking about rolling back spending to 2022, looking at the, sort of the pre-COVID numbers, capping that and then allowing it to grow at 1% a year for 10 years. These are all part of that. As I just mentioned about the energy dominance, you know, we're seeing the Biden White House actually open up pipelines now because they're getting the picture that they can continue to do stuff just on wind and solar. So that's part of the plan as well. And then issues making sure that only Americans can get the child tax credit, not illegal immigrants that are coming into this country. So these are all part of the conversations that are going on right now that I think are getting us closer and closer to a bill that we could vote on, you know, as soon as next week.
So, Congressman Hearn, as you describe it there, if we're to roll back the federal budget, which ballooned during COVID, and just have, you know, a cap where it only grows 1% a year, that could actually get us on a path of balancing the budget.
Well, certainly, you mentioned RSC chair. I had Fed Chairman Powell as our guest 2 weeks ago for our weekly lunch. And, you know, he mentioned that, you know, one of the most responsible things that Congress could do is to get our growth in spending to match our growth in revenues. At least we would, as a percentage of revenues, we would, you know, would stabilize the deficits that we're seeing annually and start getting our arms around the debt as we go forward. And you know, it's just it's no different than what the American people have to do every single day. People in Washington want to try to make it more complicated, so they seem like they're the smartest people in the room. But the reality is it's just sitting down at the table, having a bipartisan approach to solving the problems of the future. We have more revenues coming in as a tax revenues coming in than we've ever had in the history of this country. But we're spending about four times faster than where our revenue growth is, and we've got to get that back in line.
We're almost up against a break, and I know you're going to stick with us. We're going to have some conversation on some other topics on the side of the break. But very quickly, there was some discussion early on about maybe a rolling back of all of these new IRS agents and new spending for the IRS. Is that going to make its way into this bill?
I think some of that will. Certainly the IRA credits where we're going and completely destroying the fossil fuel industry, that's also included in the HR 1. So that gets in there. That's going to have some of that rollback. Where we're talking about just handing out cash to people to go out and start up businesses. That would be part of the rollback, getting us back to where we reset the economy, take our hand off the scale of trying to destroy our fossil fuel industry. And so those are all part of it. The American people are very concerned with what's gone on with the IRS and certainly looking at what aspects of that we can roll back that haven't already been funded.
They're very concerned about how their own government is being weaponized against them. And there's no place that's more acute than the IRS. Congressman Kevin Hearn, my guess, he's going to stick around. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about the vice president. She was in Los Angeles over the weekend saying efforts to protect human life are attacks on our democracy. Now, this clearly is going to be an issue in the 2024 election, and Republicans have to get a handle on how to talk about protecting human life. For nearly four decades, they championed this issue, and then all of a sudden, they lost their voice. But we're going to help them get it back. All right, don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch on the other side of this break.
Would you like to spend consistent time in God's Word? Then join Family Research Council on an exciting journey through the Bible. FRC's two-year Bible reading plan helps you to approach daily Bible reading intentionally. You will dive deeper into the nature of God and how His Word speaks into cultural issues of today. All wisdom comes from God, and He has given us the Bible as a way to understand the world. His Word is necessary in our lives, so much so that Christ said, "We are to live on every word that comes from the mouth of God." He calls it our daily bread because we need it daily to sustain us and nourish us spiritually, just like food does physically. Start this adventure today with Family Research Council. When you sign up, we'll text you with daily passages and questions that help prepare you for conversations with your friends and family. To begin this journey, visit frc.org/Bible.
1 Peter 3:15 instructs us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks for a reason for the hope that we have. The mission of FRC's Online Center for Biblical Worldview is to carry out that verse by training Christians to advance and defend the faith in their families, communities, and the public square, as now more than ever, we need to be grounded in the truth of God's Word. The Center for Biblical Worldview provides amazing written resources for a wide range of relevant issues, including biblical stances on voting, religious liberty, abortion, marriage, and sexuality. Each of these topics comes as a free downloadable PDF version, abbreviated version, and Spanish translation, along with a prayer guide. To access this written series or to sign up for the Center for Biblical Worldview's monthly newsletter, visit frc.org/worldview.
Did you know that from as early as 12 weeks, and certainly by 20 weeks, an unborn child can feel pain? Did you know the issue of pornography is growing among women? Did you know that pornography, sex trafficking, and abortion are all linked and on the rise across the globe? Issues such as pornography, human trafficking, drug legalization, and abortion are all violations of human dignity and have resulted in the devaluation of human life in our culture. Family Research Council stands firm on the principle that every life has value, ought to be respected, and has been designed for a unique purpose. Educate yourself on the harms of pornography, human trafficking, and abortion so that you can offer hope and help. Learn more at frc.org/life.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host, and the website's tonyperkins.com. Lots of resources there for you. In fact, information about the May 4th event, the National Day of Prayer event, you can find that at tonyperkins.com. Well, last year's Supreme Court decision on the Dobbs case marked a major milestone in the fight to protect human life. Events in the last few weeks and months have made it clear the battle is raging, and we cannot let up. And we cannot be silent about it either, especially with the other side intensifying their efforts, thinking they have the upper hand. Well, carrying over from the break to discuss this in more is Congressman Kevin Hern. He serves on the House Ways and Means Committee and is also the chairman of the largest conservative caucus, which is the Republican Study Committee. He represents the 1st District of Oklahoma, which is where I grew up. Congressman Hern, thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, Tony.
First, I want to get your reaction to the court battle over the abortion pill that has been unfolding.
Yeah, Tony, I think there's a lot of issues going on there. My personal opinion is the chemical abortions, the abortion pill is a dangerous, solution for what, you know, some of the pro-choice people want to see for the last 20 years. And we have the judge rule in Texas and then overruled in Washington. Now we have the Justice Alito saying that he's staying the Texas decision until the whole court can hear it. But, you know, it's pretty sad when you see the vice president, you know, saying that when you want to protect life, that we're extremists. I think you started out your show talking about that somehow protecting a baby to be born and giving a chance at life and to experience the glories of God in this world, that's an extreme position. I'll tell you what's an extreme position, and that's abortion on demand, partial birth abortions. Even as heinous as it sounds, which is it's actually factual, is allowing babies to be born alive and then allowed to die just because they were blessed by God to be born after a botched abortion. And then when you see what all this has to do with what's going on here, that's what's extreme.
Right.
And I'll tell you how you prove that, Tony. And we put a bill on the floor in January on the born alive issue, a bill. Only one Democrat supported abolishing that opportunity.
I was going to ask you about that. That they had a clear vote. Only one member of the Democratic Party voted for that bill. And all that does is says if a child survives an abortion and is born alive, that you would give medical care to that child. I mean, that is extreme. That is extremely extreme. I want to play this clip just so people don't think we're putting words in the vice president's mouth. Play clip number 7 again.
This is a critical point in our nation's history. We are seeing around the country in a myriad of ways those who would dare to attack fundamental rights and by extension attack our democracy.
So for you and I wanting to protect unborn children, they're now claiming that is an attack on our democracy. That's radical incendiary speech, if you ask me.
It is, Tony. And what you're seeing right now with this woke agenda is insane. During the FDA's last approval, you can now get the mifepristone through the mail. Congresswoman Harshberger has pushed back on the FDA. I've got a bill out there that says they can no longer use a pandemic or a public health emergency to do this again. Completely removing the opportunity or the necessity of a woman actually talking to somebody who can prescribe the abortion pill. These are all part of this woke agenda. They just want to do everything they can to destroy the future lives of the God's precious gift. And this is totally insane. That is extreme. We're going to continue to push back. We're seeing state legislatures across the country, like Oklahoma and others, that are doing their own abortion laws. I think that's where it should be done, yeah. And that's where it's being done across America.
Yeah, and it's doing, and it's happening, and that's what they're upset about. In fact, I want to play a clip from Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin. She was on NBC Meet the Press this weekend commenting on the Texas ruling. And, I mean, don't laugh when you hear this clip because, well, I'll play the clip, then I'll comment. Clip number 10.
Look, what we have in Texas is a judge who was not guided by science, but is part of a extreme Republican concerted effort to ban abortion nationwide.
This coming from the party that can't determine male from female, the party of anti-science, now claiming that this judge somehow is not being guided by science.
Yeah, I don't have any words. It's really pretty sad. I think what you're seeing with this judge is respecting God's creation. And, again, when you talk about follow the science, we know that a child's heartbeat can be heard very early. Certainly, again, going back to what I said earlier, the Democrats are okay with a child from a botched abortion being left to die after being born. I've been privileged to hear the stories of so many across the country of these particular situations. And I obviously these doctors are unknown, but I just want to reach out and say thank you. Just praise God that these doctors took care of these children at birth, and they've grown up to tell the story. And I think that's what has to continue to happen, is to tell the stories. If you think about it, extreme, since 1973 up until Dobbs' decision last year, some 70 million babies aborted in the 49 years. That's extreme. Those are faces of children that we'll never see. There'll be one place they'll be seen, and that will be in heaven. And for those parents, those people that are out there, they will have a voice that will be so powerful that we'll all see that glory someday.
Congressman, as you are doing on Capitol Hill, advancing this issue, this is not the time for conservatives, for Republicans to lose their voice on life. For four decades, the Republicans primarily have championed the unborn, and I believe it was a part of getting us to the point of Dobbs. Now's not the time to go silent, is it?
It isn't. I think everybody's having to reposition a little bit to see how they support the states as they're out there working across the country to fill in the patchwork of those states that have not come yet to a position of recognizing what we need to do with the abortion laws in America. It'll be on the ballot, I'm certain, as we go into next year, as we go into this election season. And Americans need to know that Republicans are standing strong on behalf of pro-life movements across America.
All right, Congressman Kevin Hearn, always great to see you. Thanks so much for taking time to join us today.
Great to see you, Tony.
All right, folks, stick with us because coming up, we're going to talk about the blow up over Bud Light's promotion of transgenderism. I don't know what they were expecting. I guess they thought maybe Joe Sixpack would like it. What does this reveal about how Americans are rejecting the woke agenda? We're going to talk about that next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
All Are you a university student? Do you know a university student, specifically one who wants to grow as a Christian leader to positively influence public policy and the culture? Look no further. Family Research Council has a life-changing 12 to 15-week internship program that has prepared and equipped students to take the next step in their professional journey. With a speaker series focusing on careers and callings, lectures from prominent conservative leaders, and weekly biblical worldview training, students will grow in personal and professional development. Interns have the opportunity to work in policy, communications, event planning, and more. They will gain real-world experience working directly with our experts who will guide them in pursuing careers of influence so that they can make a difference wherever God calls. This paid internship offers fully funded housing in the heart of downtown D.C., giving you the chance to experience our nation's capital. Visit frc.org/internships to apply.
What is biblical masculinity? In our culture of gender confusion, there aren't many examples of godly manhood. Men, husbands, and fathers need to find a model of godly manhood, leadership, and strength. But where can they find it in our culture? Stand Courageous Men's Ministry was created to help men find this model of godly manhood and to develop a strong biblical character, cultivate positive habits, build and rebuild relationships, and make commitments that will move men closer to God's good purpose and design. Men who will stand courageous. Join us at a Stand Courageous Men's Conference to discuss critical aspects of masculinity. These conferences are led by men who understand the issues men face. They unpack our role as a defender, provider, instructor, and battle buddy so that we can make an influence as a chaplain inside and outside the home. Learn more and find a Stand Courageous event near you at standcourageous.com.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday. I want to thank Jody Heiss for filling in for me last week. I've been traveling. I was doing some planning. And then also spoke over the weekend at the RNC gathering in Nashville. And then I was over at the Cove speaking with Financial Issues, their retreat. So back in D.C. now, and actually still be on the road later this week. But for now, here we are. And over the weekend, kind of been tracking what's been happening with Bud Light. Now, not a topic you would expect to hear on Washington Watch, but I think this is somewhat indicative of where corporate America is going. The chief executive of the brewing company that owns Budweiser beer brand issued an apology of sorts. It was more like an intoxicated word salad over the weekend. And in his kind of statement, Anheuser CEO Brendan Whitworth posted on Twitter that, quote, "We never intended to be a part of a discussion that divides people. We are in the business of bringing people together over a beer." Okay. Well, if that were committed, if they were committed to doing that, they wouldn't be facing the backlash they have been facing since making trans-identifying Mulvaney, Dylan Mulvaney, who's gender confused, their poster boy. Or in their mind, poster girl. I don't know which it is. It's just weird. Well, here with me now in studio to talk about this and more is Meg Kilgannon, Senior Fellow for Education Studies here at the Family Research Council. Meg, not a topic we thought we'd be talking about beer, but I was thinking, you know, maybe I should call on all the Baptists to boycott Budweiser. Maybe, who knows? But this really shows how corporate America is out of step. They've lost $6 billion in market capitalization as a result of this. I mean, I'm hearing reports where bars are turning back truckloads of Bud Light. I mean, this is quite revealing.
Well, it is quite revealing, and I'm not a beer drinker myself, but I know that it's a huge industry in America. It involves distributors. It involves people that sell it directly to the consumer, whether that's a grocery store or your local bar, bartender. Then the distributors that get the beer to those places, and then the corporation itself. So the ramifications of a problem like this are felt deep and wide, and that's why you saw, I think, the response from the top of the corporation so quickly. Because when you have people turning back truckloads of beer and major country music singers Xing Bud Light out of their entertainment contracts, that's right. Going to start hurting.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, I don't know the CEO, but Brendan Whitworth is a Marine veteran, apparently worked with the CIA. You know, I always want to take care of my Marine brothers, but you know what? He obviously needs to fire somebody. I'm going to play this clip again of the vice president of the of Bud Light. Let's see, get her name here. Alicia Hendershield. She made this comment. This was before the rolling out of this. Is back in March. Play clip number 9.
So I had this super clear mandate. It's like, we need to evolve and elevate this incredibly iconic brand. What does evolve and elevate mean? It means inclusivity. It means shifting the tone. It means having a campaign that's truly inclusive and feels lighter and brighter and different and appeals to women and to men.
Light, bright, and different? Really?
Yeah.
I'm old enough to remember the iconic campaigns that Bud Light has done over the years. Here comes the Bud. This Bud's for you. Those commercials at Christmas time with the beautiful horses and the jingle bells. I mean,
so now we have transgenders on cans that mock women.
They were award winning, and now we get this. And by the way, just a little note. I don't want to buy Bud Light now. If you're trying to get my business,
yeah,
I'm not interested in buying it because Dylan Mulvaney told me to.
Obviously, I'm not going to be calling for a boycott because nobody, you know, very few people, I'm sure, listen to this program would drink Bud Light beer. But the point here is how corporate America has become intoxicated with this woke agenda. But when you see things like this, it could be a wake-up call. I mean, again, $6 billion in market capitalization, that's a pretty big drop.
It impacts the Anheuser-Busch Corporation, and all the other corporations see this happening. So they have to take note.
And it's happening elsewhere. I mean, Disney's experienced this. And so will corporate America wake up and quit marching to the beat of the leftist drum?
Well, I don't know about that, but I sure hope so. I mean, they won't do it until we make it hard on their bottom line, right? Yeah. And if we don't continue this pressure, then, you know, it's difficult. We on the right tend to be more concerned with normal everyday matters of life, right? And we're not overly political in terms of buying and selling things based on people's political views. We just want to exist, right? So it's not usually sustained very long.
All right. This analogy probably doesn't work kind of backwards, but in this case, it would be good for people to fall off the Anheuser wagon, the Budweiser wagon. All right. Stick around, folks. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some policymakers in Washington State and Oregon. Same agenda, this transgender agenda. They want to keep parents in the dark. Now, this is where we're seeing a direct conflict in the state. Some states moving forward, over a dozen states that are protecting the rights of parents and children, protecting them from this transgender agenda. And now you have states aggressively pushing this agenda and pushing parents out of the way. Meg sticks around to talk about this next. Don't go away. More Washington Watch straight ahead.
What is biblical masculinity? In our culture of gender confusion, there aren't many examples of godly manhood. Men, husbands, and fathers need to find a model of godly manhood, leadership, and strength. But where can they find it in our culture? Stand Courageous Men's Ministry was created to help men find this model of godly manhood and to develop a strong biblical character, cultivate positive habits, build and rebuild relationships, and make commitments that will move men closer to God's good purpose and design. Men who will stand courageous. Join us at a Stand Courageous Men's Conference to discuss critical aspects of masculinity. These conferences are led by men who understand the issues men face. They unpack our role as a defender, provider, instructor, and battle buddy so that we can make an influence as a chaplain inside and outside the home. Learn more and find a Stand Courageous event near you at standcourageous.com.
With the increase in tech censorship of conservatives and Christians, Family Research Council created a tech subscription platform to be sure we don't go completely dark due to censorship. It is important to us that we stay connected with you and that you stay informed. So if we get canceled, you can still access updates on faith, family, and freedom. How? Just text STAND to 67742 to sign up for our text alerts, and you will get FRC's content straight to your phone. Again, just text STAND to 67742, and you will get alerts on the biggest stories of the day. With just a simple text, always have access to our content and stay informed and connected with like-minded community. Text STAND to 67742. That's STAND to 67742.
Are you a university student? Do you know a university student, specifically one who wants to grow as a Christian leader to positively influence public policy and the culture? Look no further. Family Research Council has a life-changing 12 to 15-week internship program that has prepared and equipped students to take the next step in their professional journey. With a speaker series focusing on careers and callings, lectures from prominent conservative leaders, and weekly biblical worldview training, students will grow in personal and professional development. Interns have the opportunity to work in policy, communications, event planning, and more. They will gain real-world experience working directly with our experts who will guide them in pursuing careers of influence so that they can make a difference wherever God calls. This paid internship offers fully funded housing in the heart of downtown DC, giving you the chance to experience our nation's capital. Visit frc.org/internships to apply.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. By the way, this week, coming up here in Washington, the Protection of Women's Sports, Women's and Girls in Sports Act, H.R. 734, will be voted on. And so we need to let the House members know this is important. And it's been spreading across the country, but it's good to see what's happening here, to take a stand against this crazy agenda being pushed by the left. So if you'd like to sign that petition, text the word sports, that's sports, plural, sports, to 67742. That's 67742. And that'll help you find out how to contact your member of Congress and urge them to vote for the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. Now, that, Meg, that's just the tip of the iceberg. You know, Republicans have been working to protect not only women's sports, but also parents, the rights of parents when it comes to bringing up their children and protecting them. But at the same time, Democrats have been working to usurp the role of parents. We wouldn't do this on any other thing, but when it comes to abortion and this sexual confusion and transgenderism, we are just completely trampling upon the child-parent relationship. What's happening in Washington State and Oregon?
Well, there are two bills there that are really egregious. In Washington State, they've passed a bill that involves homeless shelters for youth. And normally, if a child enters a homeless shelter, the homeless shelter checks and rechecks the missing persons reports so that they can notify the parents when the parents report them missing so that they, you know, can reunite the family. But if the child needs, according to them, reproductive services, reproductive health care, or gender-affirming health care,
regardless of age,
the phrases go, regardless of age, then they will not report the parent to the parents that they have the child. So this is just...
So who makes the decision?
This is an extremely dangerous bill. And so, you know, the people that are running homeless shelters in Washington State, I wonder if anyone's asked them how they feel about it, because I'm not sure if I was working in one of those places that I would be comfortable not telling parents where their children were.
So some bureaucrat is going to make the decision as to whether a minor child,
right,
who is being blocked, their parent is being blocked from being able to communicate for them and know what's going on with them, a bureaucrat somewhere totally disconnected from the child is going to make a decision that is irreversible.
Correct. Correct. And the same sort of mindset is, of course, similar in Oregon, where they have a bill there that is protecting protecting, in quotation marks, right, the child from having themselves outed to their parents over any kind of reproductive health care, which is code for abortion and contraception, or gender-affirming services, same kind of thing, slightly different wrinkle. This the bill in Oregon is following what we call the WISC model, which is whole schools, whole child, whole community. And it is essentially putting healthcare delivery services into school settings or into homeless shelters or places where parents are separated from their children and delivering healthcare services, in quotation marks again. These are, you know, it's not like they're putting a Band-Aid on a skinned knee. You know, right. They're doing,
these
are medical interventions that are irreversible.
Well, and we go back to what we have been working on in states like Arkansas and elsewhere that have passed protections. This is experimental.
Right.
We don't know the long-term, the health community does not know the long-term repercussions of the use of these drugs, because this is not what they were designed for,
right,
as well as the experimental surgeries.
Right.
Now, very quickly, I want to juxtapose this to what's happening in Texas, because it really comes down to elections. And we really see a major divide taking place in this country. And it goes, you can call it red and blue, you can call it left-right. I call it truth, deception. I mean, you can call it what you want,
right,
but it's clear that the people determine what it is with their votes.
Yes. And there are school board elections coming up in Texas. Early voting starts April 19th. The in-person vote is on May 6th, but we would encourage people to check out iVoter Guide, iVoterGuide.com. They have voter guides for these areas of Texas that have races, and you can see who your candidates are, how they lean, whether they lean conservative or lean liberal, and make a decision and then vote early so you can take some other people to the polls on election day, because we really have to make sure that parents' voices are heard.
And we've seen the difference that makes.
Yes.
Over the last years, we've actually trained people to run for the school board, and that information is still available at frcaction.org. Links to the iVoter Guide as well are there. It really comes down to our engagement, being informed and being engaged, caring enough to get involved.
Protecting the vulnerable.
Yeah. Meg Kilgannon, always great to see you. Thanks so much for stopping in today.
Thank you.
All right. Well, folks, be sure and check that out. Go to frcaction.org. If you're in Texas, get the iVoter Guide. And by all means, get involved. Our votes matter. Well, earlier today, the House Judiciary Committee held a hearing in New York City to offer those affected by violent crime in the Rotten Apple a chance to tell their stories and discuss whether the policies of Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg are worsening crime in their city. Well, join me now to share his thoughts on the hearing is Congressman Nathaniel Moran, who serves on three House committees, including the Judiciary Committee. He has also had his own civil law practice for the last two decades. He serves as the representative for the 1st Congressional District of the Lone Star State. Congressman Moran, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
So can you share with our audience what came out of today's hearing?
Sure. You know, it was quite the fireworks during the hearing today. And I'm so glad that we did this in Manhattan, because it's not just about New York City. It's really about the leftist social policies across the country and all of the big cities that are driving our law enforcement to seek other careers, that are supporting criminals rather than victims, that are taking us down a path that is not the path that supports the rule of law.
Anything that you discovered today? I mean, I know you've been tracking this and been watching it, but I mean, there's a reason to go there, be present, listen to people's stories. Anything that you discovered that was new there today?
Yeah, I tell you what was astounding to me as I listened to the testimony. When you look at how Alvin Bragg is running the Manhattan DA's office, it is amazing that there has not been an uprising by the citizens there in Manhattan, because he's taken, when you look at 2019 versus 2022, he's taken felonies that are committed. He's charging 35% less felonies across the board. And then what's left over out of that bucket, he's reducing about half of those to misdemeanors. But what was most astounding to me is when you look at the conviction rates, 2019 conviction rates for both misdemeanors and felonies was about 68% for the Manhattan DA's office. When you look at the statistics now, for misdemeanors, the conviction rate is 29%. For felonies, it's just above 50%. That means one out of every two cases that even get to trial, he's unsuccessful at. Now, what that tells you is if you start from the very beginning to the end, about one in seven people that commit a felony is actually going to be convicted of that felony at the end of the day. And that's astounding.
Congressman, I played this clip earlier in the program. On Friday, New York City Mayor Eric Adams was on CNN this morning with Don Lemon, trying to, I think, cut the Republicans off at the pass, talking about this hearing today. I want to play this clip and get you to respond to it. Clip number 10, please.
How concerned are you about this perception that cities like New York are dangerous?
Well, we should be clear that New York City is the safest big city in America.
Congressman, am I missing something?
Yeah, I think we're all missing something. That's like saying you won the loser's bracket in a tournament. And when you're comparing yourself, again, against all of these democratically run cities across the nation, even if you're going to suggest that New York City is the safest of the largest cities, that's like saying, well, we're the safest of the most unsafe cities in America, because that's exactly what's going on. From Philadelphia to Chicago, even in my home state, where you see it in Houston and Austin, where leftist policies, where you're looking more at social justice rather than actual justice, you're looking at all these social agendas from the left. Instead of supporting our law enforcement, it's creating a crime epidemic. And it's a result of them simply ignoring the victims and saying, we're going to protect the criminals.
What's it going to take for the citizens to say, you know what, enough of this George Soros-funded type of justice that is letting the criminals go free and politicizing the judiciary system like we see there in New York with, you know, letting all the criminals go that are killing people, but then use that as a platform to go after their political opponents?
Tony, it's going to take more of the voices of the mothers that we heard from today during the hearing. There were some mothers there today and some wives and individuals that have been harmed by these crimes, one of which spoke out ardently about the fact that she had left the Democratic Party as a result of this, that she could never get a call back from Alvin Bragg on her the case of her son that was murdered. And as a result of that, having seen the process run by the Democrats, she said, I can no longer associate myself with these Democratic policies and the party itself, because they've turned their back on me. And I think you're going to see more and more of that across America, where, you know, at some point, when you're in Chicago or New York City and you got the city and the county and the state all run by Democrats, you can no longer blame Republicans. You can no longer blame guns for this. That happened today quite a bit, too. The Democrats really only focused on two things, and that was Donald Trump and trying to get more gun control. But at the end of the day, they had to admit, and the witnesses had to admit, that when it came to the guns that were involved in the crimes in New York City, these were guns in the hands of criminals. They were already breaking gun laws. And when they say, well, we want more gun laws on the books, well, the gun laws on the books now need to be enforced by the Manhattan DA before he asks for more. If he won't enforce those currently on the books, there doesn't need to be any more restriction.
I want to go to the issue of the district attorney there filing a lawsuit against House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan and his claim of, quote, transparent campaign to intimidate and to attack his office's case against former President Donald Trump. Now, when I was in the legislature, back in Louisiana, we went out into the field. I think it's a very productive use of the time, because there's a lot of people you heard from today would never make their way to Washington, D.C. You usually have the professionals here that are seeing you. You hear from the real people. I think this is a great idea for the committees to get out and go into the communities that are affected by this. But we see now the DA politicizing this as the chairman has taken this into New York. How do you respond to that?
Well, of course, that's what they want to do, is to say we're politicizing this because they don't want to deal with the substance of the matters at hand. It was very, very poignant to hear those victims' testimonies today in their city. And you're right, most of them couldn't or wouldn't travel to Washington, D.C. to tell that story. The other thing that came up today was the crowd that was there behind the witnesses, in between the press and the witnesses. There was a large crowd, and there was no doubt they were there to let Alvin Bragg know they were not happy about how he's bringing about law and order in Manhattan. They were not people from Washington, D.C. They were not Republicans. They were citizens of New York City that were sick and tired and frankly fed up of the decisions he's been making since he got into office.
Congressman, final question for you. Where's the committee? Where are you going next?
There's lots of places to go, and I hope we do have some more of these hearings, particularly on support for law enforcement and enforcing the rule of law and standing firm against criminals in this country. I certainly wouldn't mind if we made a trip down to Houston or Austin. There's lots of stories to tell down there, but let's get out in the country and do some more of this. It's very effective for these stories to be told by the victims of leftist propagandists that really are pushing a political agenda and are not concerned with the victims of crime.
I agree with you 100%, and it's good to give them a voice. Congressman Moran, thanks so much for taking time to join us today. Always great to see you.
My pleasure. Thank you, Tony.
All right. Congressman Nathaniel Moran of Texas's 1st Congressional District. You know, he was talking about the issue of guns came up, and I was out last week. And I was thinking about this in Genesis chapter 4 when the Lord spoke to Cain. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? He was angry with his brother Abel. Why are you angry and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Then verse 8 says, now when Cain talked with his brother Abel, and it came up and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he killed him. You notice it doesn't say anything about how he killed him. Was it a rock? Was it a knife? You know, it's not the instrument. It's the intent of the heart. God was dealing with his heart, warning him that he needed to rule over himself and his anger. It wasn't about the instrument. And see, that's where we are misguided in the policies of the left and even some on the right, going after the instrument. We need to be working on the hearts. All right, folks. Thanks so much for joining us. Always great to have you here at Washington Watch. Be sure and visit TonyPerkins.com. Resources there for you. And find out more how you can contact your congressman about the Protect Women and Girls Sports Act. Just text SPORTS to 67742. Also at TonyPerkins.com, information about our National Day of Prayer event on May the 4th. Until next time, I encourage you with the words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.